everybody. I'm Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet, about to be joined by Ken Weeb from the Winnipeg Free Press. Together, we are Kenny and Rennie, and this is the Kenny and Rennie post-game show after Game 80 of the season for the Winnipeg Jets. Biggest game of the season for the Winnipeg Jets, and look what they did. Listen, I'm going to get into it, but first I want to say I almost never take my cues from T. Will, because that's a path to a sad, lonely life with lots of cold takes. But in this one, he's got it nailed. This show better start with a headband. It should probably have two headbands. I can't do anything about the second, but I can do something about the first. So let's make this an early breaking version, a Sean's headband version of the Kenny and Rennie show. Let's do it. All right, folks, I want to start this out by talking about a very specific group of Winnipeg Jets fans, okay? There's a lot of you, and sometimes you can compartmentalize all of you into kind of different areas. I'm talking to a very specific group, and you will all know who I'm talking about when I bring this up. The very specific group that every single year since 2019, as we've seen this Jets pattern of them starting seasons hot and getting, you know, things kind of starting to fall apart at the seams as the season went on, that group of fans who said, don't worry about it, everything will be fine, that dog in the burning house meme, everything is fine group. You did it in 2019. You did it every year after that. You did it the year that the Jets were clearly going to miss the playoffs. You were sitting there saying, no, they're going to have a 800% win percentage down the stretch to slide in and make the playoffs. That group has every year showed up in these chat rooms and said, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. The Jets will get back to the best versions of themselves right in time. And after taking L after L after L, that group is right and nailed it heading into the end here. 12 games left in this season. I talked about how many points you should expect the Winnipeg Jets to get based on what they were doing, how they've played the schedule since Christmas time. I said you should expect them to get 13 points in the remainder of their games. Well, this is 13 right now with two games to go. What it basically tells you is that the Jets are outplaying what they had been doing since Christmas time. And if you are Rick Bowness and you're asking for the team that went on that heater in that 30 game stretch and played that kind of hockey, you were basically asking, like Pat Rathwell pointed out on the last show, you were asking for the December version of the Jets. So in order to get that, if you're going to get that, you're going to get a team that outproduces the expectations. The expectation was 13 points. Jets are probably going to win their next one. Maybe they can just throw away the last one, but they're going to get in the neighborhood of, you know, 15 to 17 points out of those last possible 24 points, which says a lot about where this team is now. That's what the numbers say. We only need to take a look on the ice to see what they're saying. But I can calmly and firmly say that group who sat there and said, don't worry about it, six-game losing streak, don't worry about it, they're just rounding into form. Even though there was no evidence that this is a round into form late team and make it happen, they're right. Those folks are right. So find those people, give them a tap on the back, buy them a lamplighter if you see them, raise their hand in the air in front of the entire bar, because they're correct. The Winnipeg Jets and the December version of the Winnipeg Jets have arrived, and they arrived in a big way in this game. They were their last game. They were showing signs of it. We've been talking on this six-game win streak now that followed a six-game losing streak. We were talking about the steps that the Jets were taking even before that, even when that six-game losing streak was happening. We were talking on this show of the Winnipeg Jets slowly, brick by brick by brick, building that house back up. I know it was a win, but in my mind, that win over the Nashville Predators was a massive step backwards. If you were building the house, it was rafters being put on the building and then getting blown over by a storm before you came and picked it up, which actually happened on a project Rennie was on one time. Surprise, surprise. Something going wrong on a Rennie project? I don't know. Anyway, rafters got blown down, and the Jets turned around and put a roof on this home over the last two games that is starting to look impenetrable. Let's get into this game specifically. This is kind of a receipt show for the Kenny and Rennie show and the things that we've been saying about where the Jets game was heading, the things that we've been saying about the Colorado Avalanche. If you've been paying any attention, I've told you I think that this may be the best matchup for the Jets going into the West. I don't know that I'd rather have the Jets play the LA Kings or the Nashville Predators or the Vegas Golden Knights or Edmonton Oilers or the Vancouver Canucks, Dallas Stars. There's no free spaces on the bingo card, but I think that the team that the Jets align with best as far as having their best hopes is the Colorado Avalanche. And I think you saw everything in that tonight. This is a team that if you can keep Nathan MacKinnon in check, really does not have a lot. I like sports references. I don't know how many fight fans are out there, but this game tonight was Lennox Lewis versus Oliver McCall, a heavyweight fight in which one of the two combatants quit. And I know I ruffled some feathers last time and people like figure it out. It's the Rennie Heel character. When I started the last show and I was talking about, don't think it was the give a, you know what meter for the Dallas Stars was at the top of their meter. And I still don't think it was, doesn't take anything away from the, what the Winnipeg Jets did on this night. I mean, I don't think that's the best version of the Colorado Avalanche, but hear me out here. This was two heavyweight fighters getting into the ring. And one of the heavyweight fighters felt the power behind the punch of their opponent and walked out of the ring. Okay. The Winnipeg Jets made the Colorado Avalanche quit on this night. And I'm going to bring it up. I've got the receipt from the first period where I could see this kind of unfolding in real time. I had talked about, let me find this. Here is my tweet from the early in the first period. Have a look at the posture of the Avalanche players between whistles, not just after the goals, but any whistle. They look defeated and have for most of the period. Jets not just looking for home ice advantage in this game, but looking to do psychological damage. And I think that's what happened here tonight. Take a look at this entirety of the season. And I know the regular season quite often can mean nothing. No one knows that more than a Jets fan who saw the Winnipeg Jets lose every single game against the Edmonton Oilers a couple years ago in the Canadian division and then go on to sweep them in the first round of the playoffs. I still think this matters the way that the Winnipeg Jets handled the Colorado Avalanche in this game here and the entire season because listen, if you're the Dallas Stars and you get beat the other night the way they do, 3-0 with empty net goal by the Winnipeg Jets, what you can say is, yep, we had three games before that. We beat them. We handled the Winnipeg Jets. This is what success looks like for us against the Winnipeg Jets. This is what we need to get back to. The Colorado Avalanche are walking into a series with the Winnipeg Jets, and they don't know. They don't know what success looks like against the Winnipeg Jets. They haven't figured it out yet. They can't say, we just need to do this. Oh, hey, wouldn't it be easy for the Colorado Avalanche if their task was similar to what the task is for the Winnipeg Jets? We just need to find a way to shut down Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor, and the rest will take care of itself. Imagine how easy that game plan would be. Well, that's not it at all. They need to go and figure out a way to stop all four lines. Their depth cannot keep up with the Winnipeg Jets. Their top end can't keep up. Their system seems to be far too wide open. And never mind the idea that they were broken in this game. They were psychologically broken. You don't end up with as many odd man rushes as we saw in that game as it goes on if a team hasn't entirely abandoned its structure. I've talked in the past about the Winnipeg Jets. They lose some games, but when they were at the top of their game, they would lose games and they wouldn't leave their structure because they think, okay, we may lose tonight, but we're not going to leave our structure because if we hold on to that structure, we think it'll get us the next game. We think it'll get us the next game. Colorado looked by the end of that game like a team that was trying anything, and anything included falling massively out of structure, abandoning defense at every point, doing the wrong things, not supporting each other out there because they were befuddled by the Winnipeg Jets, who at every turn were stepping in their way, stopping their momentum, interrupting their flow, getting in their faces, not giving them time. This was a team in which 23 guys went out looking for answers on something to do against the Winnipeg Jets, shattered as a team into a million pieces, and the Winnipeg Jets went out and just skated through the shards of glass everywhere and just kept putting the puck back in the net, back in the net, back in the net. This, to me, I've said this in the past about, you know, the score and whether it represented the game. 7-0 doesn't represent how badly the Winnipeg Jets destroyed the Colorado Avalanche on this night. This, to me, has the makings of the kind of game that can have ramifications going into the playoffs. This is a perfect outcome for the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm going to end on this because I've seen this at times before with the Jets. I think sometimes there's over the years, most definitely, there's a hanging up the mission accomplished banner kind of feel to the Winnipeg Jets team where they sometimes celebrate things a little bit beyond what I think, like, there's still a task ahead of you here, guys. Well, if you have the game recorded, go back and watch after it ends how each guy goes up and greets Connor Hellebuyck afterward. It is staid. It is calm. It is a whole bunch of guys. They're not gloating. They're not whooping and hooping and hollering. There's a whole bunch of guys going up and saying, we just ticked the box tonight. Home ice advantage now goes to us. But this is just the start of what we plan on doing to this team. Nothing to celebrate here right now, because this is the first part of a battle in a war that we expect to entirely dominate and eviscerate our opponent. And I think personally, and I've been saying this for a long time, I think the potential is most definitely there, because this matchup for the Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanche at this stage is a borderline dream matchup for the Jets heading into the first round of the playoffs. That's my take on this whole thing. Time to bring in the man with the best music in the business to get his take. Here comes Kenny, everybody. Again, once again, that suit color, I don't know. I don't know where Frankie pulls that kind of stuff out of there. Maybe it matches those deep blue eyes of yours. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm smitten by it, as anyone would be with any of the clothing that we would be set up with if you were heading over to Vittorio Rossi down on Corden Avenue. You know what to do. Hey, if you want to get a white out, a pure white suit to be taken into the playoffs the way that you're trying to get Rennie to wear, you know what to do. There's a place that could probably help you out with that. Head on down to Corden Avenue. Walk into Vittorio Rossi. Loudly proclaim Kenny and Rennie sent you. Ask for Frankie and the boys. They will do you up right. Ken, what do you got here tonight?
Well, Sean, I'm going to say that this game reminded me of game two between the Avalanche and Tampa Bay Lightning that we covered in 2022. It was absolute domination. And I'm fully aware the Jets have a significant advantage when it comes to goaltending in this series. But I'm sorry. Alexander Georgiev was not the reason it was 4-0. Nope. The Avalanche had barely touched the puck by the time he was summoned and the hook came out from Jared Bednar. Three shots on net by the time he was yanked. Jets were all over the Avalanche in every facet of the game, Sean. I think that the fact that they were winning races and puck battles out of the gate, and man, I'm telling you right now, there have been times where benching top players has not paid off for the Winnipeg Jets over the years. But since Nikolaj Ehlers, and I'm not pointing out Ehlers because he was the only one who was at fault, but since his benching, in Nashville, the Jets play with the puck and puck management against two of the best teams in the NHL was downright incredible and exceptional. Their ability to be above the puck when playing against speedsters like Nathan MacKinnon and Roope Hintz. And to me, it comes down to one thing, Sean. It's dedication to this. We've seen it during stretches of the year. We haven't seen it at this level. And I know, you know, Adam Lowry was saying he thought the Jets were a little bit loose in the game, you know, after they got the big lead 7-0. But I still didn't see a lot of hope plays or blind passes or any of those things that seemed to be infiltrating their game in that stretch where they had the six games or the losing streak. I thought their four lines were excellent. Their all three D pairings very good, and Connor Hellebuck, excellent again. Wasn't overly tested, I get it, but man, I thought that he was most definitely ready to roll, Sean. And that's a game where a lot of players on the Jets, their top players especially, they knew everyone was talking about Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and, oh, Rantanen's back in and all of the star power. Jet stars came to play and their entire team was excellent. They talked all week about wanting to have home ice advantage, and now they've put themselves in the pole position. And it's because of the way that they're playing, the effort. Now, I'm just impressed by their ability to crank it up. And again, I understand why folks were going nuts at the time, but this is what I meant when I said we're going to learn about the Jets during this road trip. The Jets have now won six games in a row. They're peaking at the right time. Talked about this for weeks. I mean, the one thing for me, and I don't want to turn this into an Avalanche discussion because we'll have plenty of time to talk about them, but they've won two games in their last six against non-playoff teams in the Minnesota Wild both times. And yes, Nathan MacKinnon was downright dominant in one of the hat trick to get to 51 and 4 points. But this is a team that is not peaking at the right time. They went through an incredible rip where they were on their firing on all cylinders.
9-0-1.
They were absolutely a team that looked absolutely disheveled and disjointed and discombobulated to complete the hat trick of D's right there, Sean. And we've been around Avalanche teams quite a lot in the last 3 years, Sean. I've rarely seen them, and I think give up is a strong word.
They gave up.
Man,
they
there quit. Was no pushback whatsoever in that game.
They quit. The way they were allowing odd man rushes, that's a team that gave
crazy.
Up. That's a team that just quit and was just playing pond hockey, hung their goaltender out to dry. I think that's the kind of thing that has ramifications within a dressing room where a goalie is sitting back there thinking, like, what are you doing? Like, if you're a goaltender, you feel like your team's embarrassing yourself. Yeah. And at that point, when you're down 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, you don't really care if you win 7-1. Like, I mean, maybe there's okay, let's steal the shutout away from the opposition goaltender. But if you're a goaltender, you don't want to be letting in three goals on three odd man rushes so your team can go out and abandon their structure and try and get one goal to soften the blow against the other team. This was, I said it earlier, this was Lennox Lewis versus Oliver McCall, Ken, where one of the fighters gave up in this fight and was crying in the corner. This was complete utter domination. This was psychological warfare. And I sure am interested to see game one in this series and see if there's like a team see if the Colorado Avalanche come into this series wounded. Cause I honestly don't think, and I've been saying this for a long time about the Colorado Avalanche, I think this is the Jets' best lineup, but I'm wondering if it's going to be even worse than I thought it was going to be based on this game and based on this team not being able to get its breath back after getting punched in the stomach repeatedly. This is like a flurry to the solar plexus kind of night, Ken.
Sure. And I mean, again, no one teams wants to get their ass kicked this late in the season by a first round opponent, no doubt. But I mean, to your point about the Jets not hanging any congratulations banners, what I heard from, you know, all of the players and Rick Bonus was exactly that. Again, they're not going to beat Colorado 7-0 in game one. They know it. They said it outward. They know that's not their team. What's that?
I wouldn't put it past them doing it. Honestly, I have very little faith in that Colorado team, especially against a Jets team that plays like this. Anyways, go on. Sorry.
Anyways, I'm not feeling as strongly as you on that one. I mean, I do think that it's a good, you know, the Jets, if they play like that, definitely can win the series. But I've seen Colorado quite a bit in the last couple of years, and I don't see them wilting. But yeah, that was not a good sign. And Jared Bednar will be I didn't see his comments, but he had to be frustrated by what he saw. But for the Jets, I mean, Sean Monahan, just another exceptional game. And again, for those folks who are wondering, Monahan didn't play in the last 9 minutes and change, and Vladislav Namestnikov didn't play in the last 11 minutes and 22 seconds. If that game was tied, those guys would have been in the lineup. Or if it was game one, they would have been in the lineup still, just because the game was such a blowout. I would imagine, I mean, Rick Bonus told me and Mitchell Clinton yesterday that they had a couple question marks. So I would imagine that those were some of the guys who are dealing with some issues. And, you know, just a chance to take them out of the lineup and get them some additional rest, get them on the plane a little bit earlier is a smart call in that scenario. And again, I love that the Jets are putting team first. I mean, could Sean Monahan have hung around for the last 9 minutes and tried to get a hat trick? Sure, but who cares, right? I mean, all he cares about is winning in the playoffs. So, you know, for his body to be rested up, far more important. I mean, I know that we've been talking about the Jennings a lot, and man, would it have made sense to get Lauren Bressois, you know, a minute here, a minute there. I mean, the Jets know the value of Lauren Bressois. And maybe it was because it was a shutout today, and if the Avalanche had scored to make it 7-1, then maybe you get Bressois in there for 1 minute so that he can get to 23 appearances, and maybe you start him on Tuesday, and then you can get him a minute or whatever against Vancouver. But the Jets know that Lauren Bressois belongs on the Jennings Trophy if they can win it. So they're not going out of their way to ensure they hit some arbitrary check mark for games played. I thought Hellebuck's performance was very solid. And hey, we've been talking about Neil Pionk a lot in the last few weeks, Sean, because
let's get into that. Okay. We're not going to add that as an add-on. We're going to get into it specifically because I want to talk about it. So first, what I want you to do is give Sweet Lou a shout out before we go there.
Right on. For folks who have realty needs they would like to have met, whether you're buying, selling, curious about what that house on the corner might be going for on the market, contact our main man, Lou Ferlin, at Royal LePage Dynamic Realty, 204-791-9971, or at the office, 204-989-5000. His email is lou@louferlin.ca. That's lou@louferlin.ca. Lou Ferlin, excellent realtor, excellent human being, and excellent supporter of the community, including our podcast.
And I just want to say this quickly. I'm going to give the Pristine Roofing wake-up call to the rest of the league. If they're not seeing what the Winnipeg Jets are doing right now, I think a good swath of the league knows exactly what the Jets were capable of early in the season. And I think they saw enough of it to know what they're seeing from the Jets right now. I think they're expecting that's the team they will see in the playoffs. We weren't sure coming down the stretch if that was going to be the case, but two games in a row they've done it, starting to look like a team of, hey, put it this way, if you come up with in your most important game of the season an effort like that, that's something the Jets are growing on in years past, because sometimes that's been the problem with the Jets is when they needed their absolute best. Let's talk game 6, 2019 against the St. Louis Blues. There was just absolutely nothing there. We saw that in the series last year after game 1, the Winnipeg Jets at the most crucial time just didn't seem to show up. This was the most crucial time this season for the Winnipeg Jets, and they came up with one of their best efforts right on the back end of another of their best efforts. So the league needs the Pristine Roofing wake-up call, just like North End Rick does at 1-204-981-6289. He's the guy you call for any roofing, siding, exterior needs. You can call Pristine Roofing themselves as well at 1-204-237-7663. And just so you know, Pristine Roofing is giving out a free roof this year as part of their Pay It Forward program. If you know anyone out there who could use a free roof, may not have the means to do so, get a hold of Pristine, let them know who those people are, and you could do something special for someone's life like Pristine Roofing is trying to do for someone out there. Okay, let's get into Neil. Actually, before we get to Neil Pionk, let's hold on to that one because I think that's a juicy steak that a lot of people want to get into. You touched on Sean Monahan. I wanted to use this game. I think, you know, going back to, yes, it's a shutout. I've talked about this in the past. I'm one of the guys who was pushing this year to say the goalie with the shutout shouldn't always be the first star of this game. I think this is a game where you could very easily find three players on the Jets roster who had more of an impact on the outcome of this game than Connor Hellebuyck had on this game. I think Sean Monahan is my first star of this game, hands down. But this game is a perfect example of what we've talked about, both on what the Winnipeg Jets have done, Kevin Cheveldayoff bringing in Sean Monahan, and the team that they're going to be playing in the first round, the Avs, have done. Which second line player would you, which second line center would you rather be going into this series with? Would you rather have Sean Monahan, or would you rather have Casey Mittelstadt, who you moved a cornerstone franchise defenseman for, to come in and be this on their second line? Sean Monahan tonight, to me, was so far ahead of Casey Mittelstadt in this game. It was not even funny. And I don't even know if Sean Monahan doesn't play further down the lineup than to play Casey Mittelstadt. But I'll tell you this, Ken, the way I saw this series going, I could see them giving a healthy dose of, even though, and this night, Rick Bonus was clearly trying to get the first line going based on the ice time that he was getting for those players. But I'll say this, if you're putting Adam Lowry against Nathan MacKinnon, I would have no problem at all going Sean Monahan straight up his line against Casey Mittelstadt's line, and then opening up the Jets' top line of Mark Scheifele, Gabe Vilardi, and Kyle Connor against the third and fourth lines of the Colorado Avalanche, and absolutely trying to wake that lineup and get them feasting on it, because I do not see a matchup that Sean Monahan loses against Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah, I mean, I just from talking to people around here that are around the Avalanche, Mittelstadt's actually played pretty well for them, it sounds like. But yeah, I mean, he was a non-factor in the game today, whereas Monahan, even though he had 13:32 of ice time, most of that based on the fact that he was banged up and the score was so lopsided. He was one of the best players on the ice, if not the best player. This is honestly, I have a lot of respect for what Paul Stastny did for the Winnipeg Jets in that 2018 run. Sean Monahan's the best option the Jets have had behind Mark Scheifele in franchise history, quite frankly, would be my opinion on that. And yeah, and I appreciate a lot of the things that Pierre-Luc Dubois does and did for this team before he forced his way out of town. Sean Monahan has been so good for the Winnipeg Jets. It's not even funny. When I talked with Rick Bonus at the end of the game in Minnesota the other day, like when he says it's a perfect fit, he's not exaggerating. He literally has impacted every area that the Jets needed help in. Faceoffs, penalty kill, helping the second line. Offensively, he's scoring at a great pace. So he's up to, 13 goals now and 23 points since the trade. 13 goals, 23 points in 32 games. And he's just been absolutely tremendous. And this isn't about victory laps or anything else, but this is why Nikolaj Ehlers enjoys playing with Sean Monahan. And it's part of the reason the coaching staff went to this situation and configuration. These guys are excellent together. And Sean, I'm not trying to change the subject, but Sean Monahan also brings out the best in Tyler Toffoli, from what I've seen. Tyler Toffoli, way more involved again today in the game. 5 shots on goal, 8 shot attempts, even snuck behind for a breakaway. So I don't know. He's been the best pickup around the league, I think. I mean, Jake Guentzel doing a great job, sure. But in terms of what the Jets needed from him, and sorry, someone pointed out in the chat room, Brian Little was an excellent Winnipeg Jet. There's no doubt about that. But for me, Brian Little was the Jets' first line center forever. So by the time he had kind of moved, shuffled down the lineup, I just think that Monahan is making a big impact right now. That's my point. Brian Little made a great impact for the organization, and his willingness to waive his no trade so that the Jets could get out of LTIR helped get the Jets the cap space available to bring in Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli. And Kyle, sorry, it's Rennie who's the roofer, not Kenny.
That's why. I think I explained with my little stick man falling off the roof.
Sure.
Kyle, why I use Pristine Roofing, and because they take tons of pride in the quality of their work and work to make sure that it's right at all times, beyond a whole bunch of reasons. Anyways, I'll say this. I agree with you about Monahan, and the other part about Monahan as being the best pickup. I agree with that statement. I remember at the time the boatload that was sent for Lindholm, and I wasn't that high on Lindholm. And again, I'll bring up the talking with Marty St. Louis behind the scenes, yep, and the way he talked about Monahan, the way a guy like Eric Engels, who's going to come in and do some writing on this Jets series in the playoffs here. He used to talk about Sean Monahan. I kind of had an inside edge just from the people who were working with him and knew about him, of what he was going to bring to the Jets. But let's not get this wrong. The Winnipeg Jets' biggest problem this year has been a lack of a second line. And I would argue down the stretch here, in terms of how solid they are defensively, but their ability to fairly consistently generate offense, which is that's their role, right? The third line's role is to just grind and shut down. If they score, that's great. Well, the second line's role is to not be as much of a grind line as that line, but still be a grind line and score. They're striking the perfect balance. That second line is doing exactly what you want the second line to do. The third line is doing exactly what you want the third line to do. The fourth line at this stage, doing exactly what you want it to do. I still think, and we can get into the conversation later, the first line isn't quite doing what you want of them, because they are the ones that you want to be the real difference makers scoring-wise. But right now, the second line is doing exactly what you were hoping for. The second line was the deficiency of this team the entire year. And Sean Monahan fixed it. They went out and got one player. They got him for a first-round draft pick that is going to be later in the draft, in a year that a lot of people have identified there's a massive drop-off in the draft after 20, where that pick is going to be. So you've got a pick that sounds like a steep pick, but isn't as steep as you actually think it is. And you go get a guy who has not only given you everything that you need here and is a good room guy and is calm and is now starting to make the pieces around him really fit, but that there's potential that if things go well here, you could tie him down. But lock him down going forward as a Winnipeg Jet. If that happens down the stretch, or never mind what happens in the playoffs coming up here, this is a huge, huge move by the Winnipeg Jets in this situation. It is not easy to find centermen at the trade deadline. It is not easy to find second line centermen. It is not easy to find the kind of second line centermen that can walk in and entirely fix a line the way that Sean Monahan has. This is a huge pickup by the Winnipeg Jets. And I just say this, as good as he's been, he keeps getting better and better and better. He's in the running consistently for the best Jet of the night almost every single night. What a pickup.
And his defensive, I went through that whole rant without even mentioning how great he's been defensively.
Yeah.
Just so good. And again, we've been talking about this for a couple of months, Sean, and you knew this from talking to Marty also, but like, the whole Sean Monahan isn't skating well anymore. Like that crowd needs the pristine roofing wake up call. He's getting around great. He's moving around the ice very well. Robert Sutton asked it. You know, at one point I wondered if 4 years might be enough for Sean Monahan. I think he's going to get 5 minimum. What do you think? Let's just dig into that before we change gears.
Yeah, let's not get too deep into it. I think Sean Monahan is sure enough here. And you just you nailed it there, Ken. People say things about Sean Monahan based on what they think he is, based on the last number of years where he's been injured. And that was the one thing that, and I know you alluded to it, I'll just flesh it out a little bit. Marty St. Louis said to me, people think that this guy is what he was. No one has woken up around the league yet to he's back to being what he was before that, except now he's smarter and a better, more rounded hockey player throughout all of this. So no, he's not a bad skater. No, like, point out on the ice when he gets beat positionally, point out on the ice when he gets beat to a spot the way Nathan MacKinnon, one of the fastest players in the league, got beat to a spot by Josh Morrissey on this night. He's not defensively deficient. He's always thinking the game the right way. His legs get him where he needs to go. His mind gets him there even faster. Sean Monahan is going to be able to get whatever number I think he wants in the offseason this year, because there's too many people who saw how well he worked. And to be honest, there's too much stories around the league of what he did for the young players there in Montreal. So this is a guy who's gone in and did a lot for a Montreal Canadiens organization. And now people are seeing what he does for the Winnipeg Jets organization. People are realizing this is the kind of guy that no matter what situation he goes into on any team, he'll help. And this is one of these guys we've talked about before. Certain guys are certain situation guys, right? Jake Guentzel can go to certain teams and make them entirely pop, but he could go to a certain team and it could be okay, but it doesn't get you kind of where you need to go. Sean Monahan will walk into any dressing room in the entire NHL and make it a better place, which means everyone in the NHL who wants a good quality player who can both put up numbers, is good in the room, is good with younger players, and can help you compete, he helps you. So he's going to get what he wants. The Winnipeg Jets, if they want to keep him, need to pay him what he's earned to keep him, no doubt.
And yeah, win the bid.
5 years? Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, and last one on that. I mean, for the people who are up in arms about the Jets giving up a first, this is Kevin Cheveldayoff playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. That's They're ridiculous. Already going to be picking it 36th to 38th instead of 28 to 32. So, like, that again, that's wake-up territory. This, you would give up a first round pick every single day in order to get someone of that quality in terms of the individual and the performance that he's been providing.
Yeah, no doubt. And great comment here by Terry Trey, who says there's an incorrect assumption that he is damaged goods. 26 goals, very damaging. That stands out too. I mean, you're talking about a guy on the verge of a 30 goal season when, you know, he was playing a different kind of game in Montreal. Sean Monahan, a year on the Winnipeg Jets, is probably 35 goals and knocking on the door for 40. That's what I would say about that. I also
think you could make Nikolaj Ehlers a 40 goal scorer if they played together full time.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Hey, I just want to give Cambrian a shout out, talking about their undo program, trying to undo their debt. I'm sure this is a game the Avs would like to undo. And hey, if you're looking to undo your high interest credit cards or debts or loans, we suggest you go talk to our friends at Cambrian Credit Union about their payoff loan. They can show you how taking out a loan to pay off your debt actually gets you debt-free faster, and you can save thousands of dollars. Go to cambrian.mb.ca to book an appointment online. Okay, let's get to Neil Pionk. Well, say what you need to say, and then we're going to get to Neil Pionk.
Just a quick one. I know you touched on Scheifele, and yet that line's not popping as much offensively. I thought the last two games were excellent for that line in terms of what they did in terms of two-way game. And that's not just Mark Scheifele.
Two-way game, for sure.
I thought Kyle Connor's two-way game today was fantastic, even though, you know what, he gets the one assist on the back door. Sorry, two assists for Kyle Connor. I thought he was excellent. There was lots of great plays. There were some really smart he didn't throw away the puck. Along the boards, he made a couple smart, subtle plays. I thought that Kyle's starting to get his game back going as well. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. Okay, let's go to Neil Pionk. I was on the Illegal Curve show earlier today. Neil Pionk came up as a part of the conversation. I had thought, like, so this was my take on Neil Pionk. As the Jets have gotten away from their structure over the last half of the year, what happens is teams get a little loose, and they look like what Colorado looked like tonight. Just five individual players not playing cohesively, all over the ice, all trying stuff. And when you're trying something, and when you're turning, and when you don't know where a guy's going to be, or if your team isn't doing well, and you're trying to give them a spark, and you say, hey, I'm a really good hockey player. I'm going to try and do something special here to open something, break open this game, right? I think that when Neil Pionk gets into that mode, he has a tendency to look like the player that has frustrated a lot of people these years. My take, and I'm just going to get this done quickly, my take on the Illegal Curve show where we talked this out was, I think that the Jets coaching staff wasn't worried about that because they had the feeling that what ailed Neil Pionk could be fixed simply by the team getting back into its structure. If you get him back into his structure and very focused on doing the things that he is very targeted to do within that system, Neil Pionk becomes an extremely effective player. But what else does he add to your lineup? And we talked about this on the Illegal Curve earlier on today. What else does he add to the lineup that can really, that you want as a coach? You saw it here in this game. Neil Pionk can be a complete and total pain in the ass to play against, right? You saw that hit on Nathan MacKinnon. No space, right? His gap was phenomenal tonight. Every time Nathan MacKinnon comes into his space, gives him a good pop. They want to go after him afterwards. What does he do? It's the smile on the face that just pisses you off, right? The hands down. Come on, take a punch, take a punch, take a punch. Snackatoba says Pionk looked like the Oilers series Pionk. And so this is a great point. The point here is coaches know what Neil Pionk is capable of when he's playing at his best. So a lot of times when people get frustrated with a player and they think he's playing down, and let's be honest, Neil Pionk has struggled for good chunks of the season. People are frustrated with him for a reason. But what a coach sees there is a player that can play up here, but it's only playing down there. And a lot of times I think what fans see is a player who can play only up to there, but they're playing there, right? Coaches want to get the most juice as they can out of the orange. And Neil Pionk was the guy who was leaving a lot of juice in the orange. So they want to get him back into the system. They want to get him back doing the things that the system dictates, not him freelancing the way that he's been doing. That's been harming him. And they think that if he can get back into the system, he starts doing the right things and adds what you saw here tonight, those sneaky hits, pissing off the other team, getting into their heads. Tonight was a perfect example of that. And I bet you, I wasn't on the road, but I bet you if you were out to ask Rick Bowness about Neil Pionk, is that the player that you've had the faith in tonight? Is that what you expected to see? And is that why we saw the faith that we've had from you in Neil Pionk and continually rolling him out and out and out as he's tried to build his game back up? I think he would have said a resounding 100%.
You bet. And I mean, I asked Rick Bowness about Neil Pionk's play yesterday and the practice day out at the University of Denver Arena. And, you know, Rick was pretty blunt. He said, yeah, I mean, Neil struggled in Nashville. We know he got knocked off the puck. He had a rough go. But he was much better in the game in Dallas, and I agree, he was incrementally better. Today it was fantastic, like getting the job done. And Rick also pointed out today after the game when I asked about Pionk again, you know, he loved the hit, but he said just as important as the hit was the discipline. He didn't retaliate. So again, Neil Pionk doesn't need to fight. That wasn't a dirty play. That wasn't a dirty hit.
It was a great hit. I don't know what they were upset about. What are you upset about?
Neil actually laughed about it. He said he actually thought MacKinnon lost his balance. He didn't even think it was that great of a hit, but he showed some good humor. Oh, I thought it was a fantastic hit. It happened basically right in front of me from the press box side here. I asked him, what did Ross Colton say to him on the way by? He said he asked if it was snowing in Winnipeg. So he didn't want to get into the psychological warfare side of things. But I thought Pionk was fantastic, and he needed to be. This is the kind of play they need from Neil Pionk, who had, you know, pretty solid series against Vegas last year in the opening round. He had a couple bunch of points. One shot on net, 3 shot attempts, 2 hits, 4 block shots, 1 takeaway on the ice for 3 goals for 23.02. of action. So hey, there have been some nights where 22 minutes has been too much for Neil Pionk, but today 23 minutes, he was absolutely fantastic. And again, the Jets need more of those games when the playoffs start. But I've said this for a long time, Neil Pionk had a very important bounce back season, and the Jets needed him to do that. There was a block of games where there was, you know, a little bit of team chaos happening, the chaos creator at both ends of the ice, but this is the kind of game where Neil Pionk can have a really big impact on a series for the Winnipeg Jets. And I asked him flat out, I said, you know, you played some of your best hockey against the likes of Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon today. He said, best in the world, right? Like, those are arguably 1A and 1B, so that's always a challenge. But I think any athlete looks for that ultimate challenge, and that's what it is when you play those two. So hey, good on him. And I agree. Him kind of getting back to sometimes less is more. It's a great example. I think that's kind of what you were getting at. And in these right. last couple of games, a little bit less is more has been good. And I've said this a lot. There have been times recently when it looked like Neil Pionk was banged up and he wasn't moving around the way that we thought he was earlier in the year. Hey, if you're moving around well enough to contain Mr. Nathan MacKinnon, you're moving around just fine. So that was a big effort on his behalf today, for sure.
I just wanted to talk about something quickly because I've seen there's been a couple super stickers or super posters or whatever you call them in here.
You bet.
Reiterate, it's not something that we ask for because, you know, just you showing up and giving us your time is enough. We don't, and if I ever do miss a super poster's comment, I feel terrible about it, but it's bound to happen. Sometimes we don't have a producer who's catching all of this kind of stuff, so there is some stuff I miss from time to time, and I wouldn't want to miss that. That said, Ken and I will have a conversation about what we do that with that stuff, because it's just been sitting there, all your contributions like that over the years. It's a good time for me to say, We haven't, it's going to happen here right away. This is so long ago. But when Ken and I busted out our merch line, we sold it through Sportsnet. We're about to finally get paid our cut of what that is. And I had said at that time, for all the folks out there, we were so appreciative of you jumping on board and grabbing the shirts and grabbing the mugs and all those different kind of things. I'd said that I would give my cut to the Winnipeg Humane Society. That's what's going to happen here. It's going to be over $800 when it's time. I'll go there. I've already talked with them. They know it's coming there. But this is you, Kenny and Rennie, folks out there, people in the chat room, people who listen on the pod, all you folks out there who invested in our merch and our gear. It's paid off. I'm so proud that y'all contributed the way that you did. And I wanted to make sure that all that good intent on your part towards us went to a good place. I'm a big believer in the Winnipeg Humane Society and what they do. So I will be contributing all the money that I made personally from all of you buying our gear, and I'll be donating it. We will have a check presentation there. I've already talked with them. It's going to be fun, and I'll let you know awesome. As soon as people. Thank you so much for everything you've done there. And on another hint, Ken and I have been kind of talking about it. Nick Lynham and the boys at Top Line Media are rolling out some shirts. Everyone should check them out there. But it may be a path towards opening up merch from Kenny and Rennie. And we do have some new ideas. So we are thinking of maybe going down that road again. Let us know if you'd be interested in some more merch, some more t-shirts, hoodies, hats, all those kind of things. We would definitely be trying to get it right and make sure that it was worth your while, whatever we did put together. But we just want to thank you for what you looked into last time. Ken, we got to just dig in a little bit deeper
sure.
into the top line. I agree with you 100%. And I didn't say this on our last show. I'd meant to. I said it on Illegal Curb. I was saving all my good stuff and I was taking it to the boys at Illegal Curb because they do good work. So they needed some of this good stuff there too as well. But I really think what happened before the last game in putting Kyle Connor back with Mark Scheifele and the guys kind of getting moved around into a place where I think there's a lot of people who want to play with certain people, and it got there. I think there was a message, and I think it could be the watershed moment for this Winnipeg Jets team, in that players were voicing where they think they needed to be, because think about it. We're only two games away, people. Now it feels like this is this wide swath of the Jets being this dominant team. It's six straight periods of them playing the bonus system, the bonus blueprint. But before that, we were talking about constant line blending and the coach having to try and spark players by putting certain guys on certain lines. I think what happened was the lines as they are now is where the majority of the players want to be, Ken. And I think before that game, Rick Bonus said, okay, I'm going to do it. You guys are going to get this, but you got this one chance because we're running out of time. You give me this. You give me the bonus blueprint. I don't care if you score. I don't care what happens. We'll figure that out as it goes. But you come out in this game against Dallas and you give me the blueprint. You give me the back check. You give me the structure. You give me the commitment to defense. You give me the shutting down this other team. You do that first, and you get to stay with who you want to. And then we'll work from there. We'll work from the back end on out, and we'll see if we can't get to a place where you start scoring the way we want you to. But this will only work, and you only get what you want if you give me what I want. I think the message was heard loud and clear. I agree with you on the first line. I think that they've found their defensive game. They look really good out there. There were some shifts. They went out against McKinnon's line and forced mm-hmm. that line to defend. So now all of a sudden, if you're the head coach, you don't mind putting top line against the other top line, which is probably going to happen when the two teams square off against each other in games 3 and 4 in Colorado yep. in Ball Arena. But I wonder where you are at as far as seeing signs of the Winnipeg Jets top line and becoming the scoring threat that we know they could be while being the defending threat we've seen them be at the time when Vilardi, Ehlers, and Scheifele were together. They were not only a really good offensive line, they were a great defensive line too. Right now, what I see from the last two games is a good defensive line. Where do you think they're at as far as like, or tell me what you think it looks like for them trying to build in that offense going forward?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the most important thing for the Jets, a reconfigured top line, was to be good defensively. You know, a lot of the folks were saying they're going to get, you know, they were out, you know, outscored at 9-0. They're going to be outscored 10-0 or worse against the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. Well, that didn't happen. They were way better in the defensive zone. I thought that they were pretty solid all around. You know, offensively, I mean, can they give a little bit more? Yes, but I mean, I understand their job is to score, but I don't want people talking out of both sides of their mouth. Like, you say someone's terrible or a liability defensively, then they go out and play against two of the best lines in the NHL and don't give up any goals. So, like, that has to count for something. Like, again, I saw way more effort in the defensive zone from Kyle Connor. That's the effort that's required when the games matter. I can tell you, Sean, the storyline going into today was, will McKinnon's line be able to dominate Mark Scheifele's line? That didn't happen at all. Not at all. Like, we wondered, would the Jets be scared of that matchup? They weren't scared of the matchup because those guys were ready for the challenge and did a really good job within it. Can they score more? Yeah, absolutely. But to me, I would also say the Jets would have no problem for those guys kind of breaking even at 5-on-5 and then chipping in on the power play the way that they did. That pass that Kyle Connor makes on the back door to Gabriel Vilardi, that's elite. Like, there wasn't a big lane there at all, and he found him. So, again, can they play better offensively? Can they generate more? Sure. But I don't see them, you know, the big question mark was, will they be spending all their time in the defensive zone? That simply didn't happen in the last two games. Now, they have to do it more than two games, but this is very simple, and I agree with you totally. Rick Bonus said, I'll give you guys the opportunity to play together. But if you get dominated, it's split up. Like, it's very simple. So, and they don't have to split it up based on what we saw here. Will there be a time where could they be outscored by Nathan McKinnon at some point? Of course they could. Anyone in the NHL can be outscored. The guy's got 137 points. So he's going to get goals against that line also, but it can't be a matter of getting stuck in your zone every single shift. And that just wasn't happening the last couple of games. And I think Gabriel Vilardi continues to get better and better. He absolutely is the secret sauce on the power play. His ability to score around the paint is absolutely lethal for the Winnipeg Jets. And this is kind of an example of why I thought that Vilardi could help spark better defensive efforts on as a line as the whole. Whereas people were telling me that there's a long, you know, half a season's worth or whatever. And people were up in arms when I said, well, how many of those games were both Vilardi or Connor healthy or playing at a high level? And the answer was that number was pretty low. So they need to do it longer for a longer stretch, no doubt about it. But that's an idea of what they can be. And Sean, you crushed it earlier when you said it that way. If you're Jared Bednar, you thought you had an advantage on at least two of the line matchup scenarios. Right now, I'm not sure he's thinking the same way, but again, he'll be confident in McKinnon's line to bounce back. But if you're the Jets, you're not nervous about the match, or not as nervous about that head to head, if that's what it ends up being, because, you know, those guys are showing the ability to do it at a full 200-foot game. Now, again, small sample, but they did it against two of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah. Okay. I've got weekend stuff I got to make sure that my kids get to. So sure. Let's get through and you try bet. And hold this to an hour if we can. Yeah, Johnston Group got you covered. Play of the game. How about I'll just go?
Yeah, you nailed
and
it.
And then you can
it.
Go.
No, I don't want to steal. I'm not stealing your thunder. You nailed it in real time.
Yeah.
And
well,
Adam Lowry.
Yeah. Nick Ehlers. The two blocks that Nick Ehlers has in that situation. Listen. There's nothing worse than taking a shot off the side of the foot. Nick Ehlers dives to block the shot and then kind of sticks his leg back to stop the next shot. In that scenario like that, you are basically saying, wow, it's 7-0. And because it's the right thing to do, I'm going to risk breaking my ankle to try and stop this shot. That's how committed I am to doing the right thing. I think this is a continuation for Nick Ehlers from the last game, who's, I mean, talk about a back-checking mogul this guy is in his when he takes that speed and he's able to apply that back pressure. And the Jets system, when I talk about the shots from distance that the goalies face, that is predicated on the idea that if you get back pressure, now your defense can try and hold that player up, and there's nowhere to go because you're getting pressed from the front, pressed from the back. That's why you see players panic and shoot that puck. Nick Ehlers is maybe the best player on the Winnipeg Jets at back pressure when he gets going. But this is just another example of maybe one of the most like purely offensive players on the Winnipeg Jets buying in to a ridiculous degree to the defensive part of this game. Phenomenal job by Nick Ehlers. That to me is far and away the Johnston Group Got You Covered play of the game. And hey, do you run a small business in Canada? Look to Canada's number one employee benefits plan, Chambers Plan, to give you a competitive edge. Chambers Plan is the simple, stable, smart choice for over 30,000 businesses countrywide. Visit chamberplan.ca to learn more. Kenny, to the let's go to the keg save of the game.
Sure.
You go with it.
Yeah, there are about four of them that I really liked. And then all of a sudden, Valeri Nichushkin cut in front of the net, and Connor Hellebuyck made a great save off him. I also thought his save off Mittelstadt was important, and the one off Walker. But to me, that net drive by Nichushkin at a time where the Jets were trying to protect the shutout, that to me was my keg save.
I think you got it. I think you nailed it. That's Ken's. I'll stick with Ken's, but you shouldn't. You should tell us what your favorite save of the game was. Keg save of the game. You do so, you're automatically entered to win a $50 gift certificate usable at any of the three fine keg locations here in the city of Winnipeg. Each location finer than the last. And our winner from the last show, I believe a first-time winner. I saw him in the chat room earlier on. Dorian Wasakase or Wasakase or Wasakasi, I'm not sure, but Dorian, you have won the keg save of the game. You know what to do. Direct message me at SN Sean Reynolds. Send me your full name. Send me your email. I will send you a $50 gift certificate usable at any of the three fine keg locations here in the city of Winnipeg. Each location finer than the last. And hey, Ken, take your pick on this night. What is your TCB lamplighter of the game? The lamplighter, man, oh man, it was like a drinking game, the lamplighter going off tonight. You would have been stumbling if you would have played a drinking game with how often the Jets lit the lamp on this night.
No kidding.
What do you got? We'll leave that to the folks at home.
We'll leave that to the folks at home. Not sure about favorite or anything, and I'm going to give honorable mention to Adam Lowry for snapping the 17 game goalless drought. But to me, I'm actually going Sean Monahan's first goal. Nikolai Ehlers once again clicking in such unison with Sean Monahan. Excellent burst of speed by Ehlers behind the net, and his ability. That again, Sean, this happened in the south end of the rink where my seat in the press box is. I didn't see Sean Monahan on the back door for the tap-in, but Nikolai Ehlers going at full speed had his head up and found a lane to get it past the defender and get it to Sean Monahan for the backdoor tap. So, like I said, even though Adam Lowry needed that kind of a goal, I'm going with the Sean Monahan opening goal because of the play that Nikolai Ehlers makes to find him. I think it was just all-world and elite.
So I'm going to say in this scenario here, let's go with the power play goal just because we haven't been able to talk about the power play, but also because of this, one of the things that I noticed, what a slick use of, okay, Ken, we've all played with guys before who have that really long reach. And when guys use that long reach, well, like a guy like I always think of Ryan Getzlaf coming into the league, and he had that stupid long reach. And what he was one of the first guys to do is he developed a way to shoot where if he had a defender in front of him, he'd start to shoot. And then at the last second, he'd drag the puck in towards him to create a shooting lane and then shoot from the inside and kind of use the guy as a screen. But then he was also able to actually push the puck out so he could use that long reach to create shots that most normal guys couldn't because his reach was so good. Reach is a massive example if you know how to use it. One of the ways Gabe Vilardi uses it on the power play is he tucks himself sometimes right in behind the net, but usually in behind the goalie, and puts himself in a position where he's basically camouflaged himself. He's hiding behind a tree. Everyone is out in the middle of a game and everyone's playing and they're like, I got this guy. And then he goes and sneaks and tucks himself right in behind the net where a player, if it was a 6 foot player like me or Ken, what are you, five? No, sorry, six
five, foot nine
four.
And a bit.
Yeah. 6 foot four, I think Ken is. People I know sometimes.
Five,
just
nine.
Wait till you see him in real life. He's a bear, yeah. This guy. Guys like us, we wouldn't have the reach to get the stick there. But in that goal, in that case, and we've seen it from him before, he can basically put himself in a place where the only thing sticking out from behind the net is his stick. But if you hit that stick, it's a tap-in goal. And that's what we saw in that situation. You want to know why he was wide open? You want to know how a 6'4" guy gets wide open on the ice like that? Well, it's hockey smarts and no, and using his reach. So what he does is he puts his stick somewhere where most guys couldn't get it. And then he goes and he tucks in behind the net and behind the goaltender and no one sees him except for Kyle Connor, who knows exactly where that stick is, puts it there. Never mind the idea that we're now starting to get some rhythm in the Winnipeg Jets power play. If you are looking for things to be happy about heading into the playoffs, the Winnipeg Jets, never mind the two back-to-back shutouts. Never mind you got them from two different goaltenders. Never mind that you outscored your opponents 10-0 and that you're on a 6-game win streak. The fact that their power play is going again, the fact that their penalty kill is now starting to look like it's clicking, the fact that Tyler Toffoli gets a goal tonight and looks like he's going, the fact that defensively everyone is contributing, the fact that a guy like David Gustafson is coming into the lineup and getting it done, the fact that Nino Niederreiter still has to come back, that the fact that the fourth line is doing everything that you would expect from them, the fact that we're talking about Neil Pionk being that difference maker and agitator, the fact that we're talking about Sandberg and Stanley on the back end, there is almost nothing not going perfectly right for the Winnipeg Jets as they have built and built and built and built and built on their game up to where they have it right now, which is something that's extremely impressive. I'm saying it already. I said I'd say it on the show. Going forward, I expect the Winnipeg Jets to beat the Avs in 5 games in this series. And to be honest, Ken, I have a feeling I'm being generous to the Avs. I don't want to throw everything onto this one game or the game they played before it or the game they played before it, but all I see from the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche is the Jets who have had an answer for the Avs at every turn, and the Avs who at this stage I don't think have a clue what would make them successful against the Winnipeg Jets. Final thoughts before we shut it down.
Sorry, you got to give away the winner.
Oh, yeah, I got to give away the winner, which would be, this is a good one, TCB winner, Lamplighter. Hey, anyways, doesn't matter what we think the Lamplighter is. You got to share with us your Lamplighter. If you do, you're automatically entered to win a frosty, delicious 8-pack of Lamplighter Amber Ale brought to you by our friends at TransCanada Brewing Company. If you cannot wait for Kenny and Rennie to gift you your very own 8-pack, head on down to TransCanada Brewing Company at the, Ken's not putting it up, but I think it's 1290.
Hang on, 1290 Keniston.
Join them in their tap room. Great atmosphere, great pizza, as myself, Johnny Lou, and my camera guy Colin figured out earlier this week. Great drinks. Head on down there. It's where we are going to be having the year ender, where we sender. Pay attention, folks, because I've had lots of people asking me. We usually target after the Jets are eliminated, the second Monday after that is when we plan for the Kenny and Rennie, where we take over TCB. Ken's out of here. He can't even wait to get to the year-ender, so he just booked it and got out of here right now. But anyways, the winner of the Lamplighter, that would be Bardot. So Bardot, you know what to do. Direct message me at SN Sean Reynolds. Send me your full name. Send me your email. I will send you a voucher for a frosty, delicious 8-pack of Lamplighter Amber Ale brought to you by our friends at TransCanada Brewing Company. As Bardo already knows, it is the nectar of the gods. That's it for us here. Great
hang
job.
Hang on, one second, 30 seconds. I know people give us grief about this all the time, but we've done it enough times this year that we went 63 minutes without mentioning Josh Morrissey's name. Maybe you did in the opening, but in the Norris Battle of Norris Trophy, folks,
yes.
One goal and two assists for Josh Morrissey. Absolutely dominant effort. He outplayed Cale Makar quite handily today. And that, you know, again, thumbs up to him for doing that. I talked to him about, you know, you talked with Cale last time in Winnipeg, Sean, and I talked with Josh yesterday about the relationship and them being buddies that trained back in Calgary. And Josh relishes the opportunity to go up against him and learn from him when they're skating together. He won this matchup, and that was worth mentioning just on the way out. And Gustafson, wow. You mentioned two assists for Gustafson. Just doing a fantastic job since coming back.
Three points in two games. Absolutely phenomenal. And you know what? I'm glad you caught that, because like I said, I always like to say, if I say one thing in one direction, you got to point it out in the other direction. I pointed out that against Quinn Hughes, he kind of lost that battle. I pointed out against Nashville, Roman Josi, two games ago. He kind of lost that battle, no doubt about it. A lot of people will tell you that Cale Makar is the best defenseman on planet Earth. He wasn't tonight, and he wasn't the best defenseman in that game we saw there tonight. That would be Josh Morrissey, no doubt about it. Anyways, that's it for us. Ken, great job, chat room. You rocked it as you always do. Thank you for everything you do and the time that you invest in us. And I will say this, as I always do, if you appreciate the conversations happening in this space, please appreciate our sponsors who fight to keep the conversation going in this space for us. That's Vittorio Rossi, Cambrian Credit Union, Pristine Roofing, Sweet Lou Ferlin, the Kenny and Rennie OGs, and the Johnston Group, TransCanada Brewing Company, and of course the Keg. Thank you to all of them. Thank you to all of you. Jets with the opportunity to, I think it's a foregone. Oh, I brought up lots of receipts where we got a lot of things right. I think, I don't know that there's been anyone out there who has been pointing to the Colorado Avalanche and saying, I don't think they're much to worry about earlier or more often than I have. But one receipt that I should definitely bring up for myself, because like I say, if I say it one way, I got to say it the other way. I had said, forget about home ice advantage for the Winnipeg Jets not that long ago. Now, I also did say the teams that you see in the top eight, they're in. Don't worry about the St. Louis Blues. Don't worry about any of those things. I know I said, don't worry about catching the Dallas Stars. And I said, don't worry. Even when they were on their heater, you don't need to worry about the Nashville Predators catching the Winnipeg Jets. I get a lot of that kind of stuff right. This is one that I definitely had wrong. Never mind did the Winnipeg Jets reel in and catch home ice advantage. I know they haven't done it yet, but I'm telling you, where's my credibility after I'm basically telling you that I got this wrong. But I didn't think that it was going to be a possibility. But like you'd said, how quickly did things turn around for the Winnipeg Jets, and how quickly did things fall apart for the Colorado Avalanche? Winnipeg Jets may be primed, in my opinion, for the most lopsided matchup in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. That's my take. We'll see where it goes with that, but we can talk more about it.
50 wins, 25 on the road, franchise record for road wins, 50 wins, second time in franchise history, last thing on the way out.
Now, this is a good one. Rennie needs a Cambrian undo on my Jets can't get a home ice advantage take in the playoffs. There you go. Anyways, that's it for us, folks. We'll do this all over again after the game against the Seattle Kraken, in which the Jets have an opportunity to claim fully home ice advantage, which I think they already have. But let's just talk about that. Talk to you later, folks. Here we go. Bye-bye. Okay. Kill it.